Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Fiat Rock and Roll Podcast. I'm Stefan Grassmann, your host today. This episode is a special one since it is a recording of a panel at Frankfurt Digital Finance 2025 recording last week. I had the honor of moderating a very interesting panel about the business opportunities in crypto and digital assets in the upcoming year. And without any further ado, let's jump directly in the recording of our live session. Have fun. Welcome to our panel about crypto and digital assets. Today, we want to talk about the business opportunities in 2025. I think in many, many panels, we discuss about regulation and technical aspects. But actually, in the end, we all need to somewhat make a business out of that and earn money with that. And I think I have assembled a very cool panel here. And we discussed that. I shortly introduce all of them before we dive into the topic. So first we have Moritz Karger. He's Managing Director and Co-Head Brokerage at flatex DEGIRO, one of the largest and fastest growing online brokers in Europe. Welcome, Moritz. You are serving over 3 million retail investors. Flatex is currently on its way to launch crypto trading across 16 European markets, with Germany having gone live just a couple of weeks ago. I think it's exciting times for you these days. And Moritz has led this initiative over the recent months. Welcome, Moritz. Yeah, you're happy to be aboard. Next, we have Thomas Pescher, freshly hired by Bitpanda. He's working in the financial service industry since 1998, starting at companies like IBM, moving to Credit Suisse, thereafter serving the industry from the vendor side. Digital banking and blockchain has always been the center of your activities. And with companies like Synpulse, Crealogix, Metaco, and Ripple, you also dived into the blockchain space. Now Thomas is working at Bitpanda Technology Solution as a senior managing for strategic partnerships. And the technological edge has always been the focal point of his interest, with the beginning in PC networks, the Austrian Options and Futures Exchange, mass paper reporting, e-banking, tablet advisory solutions, and now finally digital assets. Welcome, Thomas. Next, we have Eric Fuhl. He's working for 10 years now for Deutsche Börse Group in several roles, currently managing director for crypto finance in Germany, responsible for building up the German entity and bringing the offering into the EU. Crypto finance was acquired by Deutsche Börse fully in 2021 and provides regulated digital asset solutions for institutional clients. They are FINMA and BaFin registered. They are proud of their freshly acquired MiCA license and offer trading, custody, and infrastructural services. They focus on banks who need an easy, regulated, and fast entry into crypto. I asked him why he's here today, and he said convincing banks and asset managers to finally move into the market and include crypto into their offerings. Regulation is there, trustworthy partners are there, integration doesn't cost millions anymore, so let's start. Welcome, Eric. Last but not least, Christoph Hock. He's head of tokenization and digital assets and Union Investment. He's driving the digital asset strategy across Union's entire value chain. Christoph is responsible for coordinating all activities in portfolio management business related to tokenization and digital assets. And Christoph has more than 25 years of international investment banking, trading, and management experience. Before joining Union in 2014, Christoph worked for Barclays, Tungsten Capital Management, and JP Morgan. Welcome, Christoph. So that was a lot from my side. Now, the icebreaker questions. Before we go into 25, my question to all of you is, how actually did you earn money last year? So where are we coming from? Where was the business in 2024? Maybe starting with you, Moritz.
Yeah, maybe. For me, it was moving from emotional business, like tokenization and asking whether you really need CSDs or land registries or even accountants, to more realistic use cases at the moment, which is cryptocurrencies, and going live with an idea of a USP that it's transparent and not cheap. We're not in cheap yet, but we're in fair priced.
Okay. To be honest, privately with XRP. Business-wise, I think the last 2 years were some, let's say, dry years. And by mid of last year, I perceived that the pace is going up again and that the interest from banks is starting again. Whereas the years before, some topics like AI crept a lot of attention away from crypto. So how
did we earn our money, basically? So we have a pretty broad service offering, and mainly it's, I would say, three pillars where we earn money with. So last year was pretty strong in trading, obviously, especially in November, December, and so on. The market picked up massively after the US election. And obviously, I think most of the firms that are doing something in crypto already had their best months either since existence or since at least the last 3 years. So the trading side was obviously earning some money. Then we as a company also have a custody side that comes in two shapes. So we do custody for banks and asset managers and so on that obviously earn some money. We also offer this product as infrastructure, but like Metaco and Fireblocks is doing. So when big banks basically want to operate their own custody solution, we sell this also as a service. So that earns money. And other services like staking, which are obviously also getting adopted on a broader basis, and that are mainly the or were mainly the revenue drivers last year. I also see them, all of these four pillars, actually to be the revenue driver of next year. I don't see that one or the other category is shrinking a lot, because even also on the infrastructure side, you have regulatory requirements that also banks have a backup solution, at least for the custody side. So there's still demand in everything, but these four pillars are actually the pillars where we earned money last year.
So Stefan, what were our biggest achievements, or what was among our biggest achievements in the digital asset space? Point number one, we launched a fund with a strong focus on blockchain. It's Unitem Blockchain Fund, where we have about 140 million assets under management with more than 7,000 clients plus in there. We have an allocation of about 15% in ETNs on crypto assets, and on the other hand, we have stocks of companies involved in the blockchain universe. And so this was a product we just put into the shelf. We haven't done any great marketing around this product, and there was really a good demand from our clients. And actually, that's coming to the achievements. That's what we are there for. As an asset manager, we are a service provider. Our job is to deliver best-in-class services to our investors. And I think that's what we achieved with this product. Then looking at digital assets, last year we've been involved in two big issuances by KfW. KfW 1.0 digital bond, so actually a bond based on blockchain technology. And that's we were strongly collaborating with KfW, developing this product off a white paper for about 15 months. So that's where we've been anchor investor. And I think it's really important to look from a big picture perspective, not just bottom up, looking at single products. We've been collaborating and further developing the entire ecosystem around token economy. And that's what I also would count as one of the biggest achievements.
Absolutely. Driving the discussion forward, I brought one slide, just one slide. Don't be afraid, because I noticed that sometimes these discussions get wild. Just to structure our idea, the panel before, we talked about the Electronic Securities Act. That would be in the asset layer on the very right side. So tokenizing financial instruments is just one aspect in there. There are more. There are real-world assets, etc. On the left-hand side, already we're quite positive in 2024. So crypto-native assets. I would even classify Trump's meme coin into that category. So things that live on a blockchain and only there. And in the middle, we have digital money, which is another kind of beast where some players like Tether earn a lot of money. So taking that as a mental model maybe for the further discussions, how do you see these buckets and where do you see your investment going further in 25, 26? Is it just evolving gradually in the markets that you already serve, or do you see uptakes left and right? Maybe starting with you, Moritz.
Yeah, well, We've decided to focus first on simple, so to say, crypto assets for now. I think it will need two or three more years before we see other use cases really in the broad out there that we as a retail broker can use and facilitate. So I think in a couple of years' time, we will have tokenized securities instead of tokenized and traditional securities. As soon as that's there, we're more than happy to distribute them. We're working behind the scenes to make it work. But for now, it's just not a use case yet that is mass affluent. That's why we're going to focus for now on cryptos. The rest will come, and it will be much more disruptive than it already looks, from my point of view, to everybody, everyday's life.
Bitpanda's perspective.
I have to explain, Bitpanda has two faces. The one is the Bitpanda, you know, B2C, that's sponsoring football clubs, and the other one is Bitpanda Technologies, where I'm from. If you look on the Bitpanda B2C business, I think it's generally logically the coins. I always remember when I first, I have to tell the story, sorry, it's just 20 seconds. when I first came to Bitpanda to have my first talks there about my new job, Dominic brought me to the elevator and there is some account of how many clients Bitpanda has. And it was showing 5.5 million and he was so proud that we have 5.5 million. And I passed this elevator 2 weeks ago and it was 6.2 million. So it's a 700,000 new clients in a little bit more than a quarter. And I think Bitpanda B2C majorly is focusing on the coins. So I think the coins and have a great adaption again in the classic retail business. Now, if we go to the other side, Bitpanda Technologies, which is supporting and helping banks and institutional companies with our core technology, which we're using on the Bitpanda side as a software as a service or investment on a service on the other side. It at the moment starts also with the coins because it's there and it's a product which is known where there's a lot of information in the market. But there are already some projects developing and starting foremost or logically with banks in the area of tokenized assets. Now, a few words on the tokenized assets. I mean, if you talk about a bond, which is on the blockchain, I heard from a German company bank, I don't care because as long as it has an easing for me, it's the same instrument. It's just a different technology. So where's the big difference, right? So I think what we as an industry have to come up is two things. First, the smart contract has more to do or should do more than just the standard product as it is in the traditional finance area, with new features, whatever the features are. And secondly, I think there should be or there has to be a kind of standard, because if everybody issuing a corporate bond as a smart contract on the blockchain does it differently, and to make it very clear, the field interest one time is named interest on the other side, Zinsen, then nobody can do something with that smart contract. So the standard, I think, is the most important part to develop really the offering market with a high rate of straight through processing, and then the buyer's market will follow as well.
Great.
For us, it's, I hope I use the right wording here, crypto native assets, so and digital money, but mainly on stablecoins. And it doesn't mean that we would look at becoming a stablecoin issuer or something of that kind. So that's not what I mean. But for us, it's definitely the crypto side. So we want to, as you introduced me correctly, I want to really make sure that the banks are not far behind, especially when the US is pushing forward now with a potentially much lighter regulation that we have at the moment, that we are not lagging behind. And for me, crypto is just the best use case at the moment, full stop. Yeah, I mean, digital assets, and we had this in the panel before, it is going to be a long-term good use case, but I still don't really understand also the approach of some banks going in with digitization, tokenization first, without having a clear plan on also offering crypto, because crypto is the asset class that earns money at the moment. And I think it's the much smarter idea also for banks to start with that, earn some money and finance and cross-finance basically the build up and the pioneering in digital assets. And this pioneering is urgently necessary to bring it to the next level, but I don't find it to be a good approach to start with digital assets first and leave the crypto stuff behind. And just last point, the stablecoin topic is super important, because the fiat rails in the settlement of crypto assets is just horrible at the moment. The crypto sector is completely underbanked. Sounds always weird, but the fiat settlement rates are a nightmare. And as long as banks also don't accept stable coins for the settlement process, we will have this problem for a long time. That's why I also urge actually everyone to also look at stable coins. We have also now a regime, and the market is not perfect, all of that. But yeah, I think you have to look at it together, crypto and stable coins.
Maybe one more question on that, because sure, it fits very well. So when I talk to banks in Switzerland, they go crypto first, blockchain second. In Germany, it's complete vice versa. Do you see a change in mind that crypto is not a bad word anymore, or are we not there yet?
No, with Mika, you see a change in mind. And I think it's fair to say that there's no German bank that is not looking at it, yeah, and has and at least evaluating a plan to offer this also to end investors and so on. So there is a change. You see always Switzerland at least 1.5 to 2 years in front and ahead of the rest of Europe, because a lot of people are very well educated, also in the banks, you have to say that. So there's always a pretty big knowledge pool in Swiss banks. So they know what they're doing. They know how, they have an idea about the settlement and the risks that are involved. And the regulation was obviously also quite good pretty early. It was a blueprint also for some other regulatory efforts. You had pretty clear regulation on insolvency, remoteness, and so on. So they are ahead. I see a change in mindset with, especially with Mika now. Yeah.
Christoph?
Yeah, I think coming to your question, is crypto or blockchain the relevant part? I think it really depends from which angle you are looking. When looking at a 100-meter sprint, I would agree that crypto currently is the big topic. But looking from a big picture perspective, digital capital markets union, tokenization, blockchain is the far more relevant topic. And just to bring it in context, looking at all native crypto assets, we are talking currently about the market cap in US dollar, what is it, $3.5 trillion, depending on where Bitcoin and ETH are currently trading. Looking at Microsoft alone as a company, Microsoft is bigger than the entire universe of native crypto. So just to bring it in context, nevertheless, obviously, we also see when looking at what was last year, one of the most successful products, look at BlackRock's ETF on Bitcoin. There was from launch in January, February, there were inflow of $22 billion. So it's definitely also something for us not to ignore. We are quite agnostic. We are an asset manager. Our job is to serve our clients and to assure that we have all in the toolbox that we have all the products where we see client demand and where we have expertise. So that's, as mentioned before, with Unitem blockchain, one of the most successful products from scratch last year at Union, we clearly have a focus on. Looking at the products you also mentioned, I would slightly categorize them in a slightly different way. So on the one hand, we look at tokenization of traditional financial instruments. And that's bonds were already mentioned in the previous panel. Fund shares, tokenization of fund shares. I guess it was also highlighted that tokenized money market fund might be one of the key products in 25. That's of big importance. And at later stage, equity markets are quite efficient. I guess we will also see tokenization of within the stock market. So that's tokenization of traditional products. And here we are talking predominantly about efficiency gains, higher optimization, higher speed in the processing, lower risk. And yes, I would kind of disagree that electronic securities with the previous panel, that electronic securities is the go-to way. So from my perspective, when comparing electronic securities with blockchain-based ones, it's like having 150 years ago when the car was invented, putting a horse on wheels. That's from my perspective a kind of electronic security. And new technology, blockchain-based technology, which can deliver significantly more. It's not only the settlement process we are talking about. We didn't discuss in the previous session what smart contracts going forward can deliver. So blockchain technology, that's really a starting point for new financial infrastructure. Okay. Bucket you very briefly to highlight, and that's in the category, Stefan, of new products. And that's what we consider an RWA. And that's when we make products like alternative assets, products like infrastructure. Also here the buzzword financing, sustainability transformation, when we make these products accessible to retail clients.
Speaking about clients, maybe have a look into the different client segments that you're seeing. And on one hand side, we see the retail investors and the institutionals who seem to pick up a bit of speed. But also on the retail side, I would be interested in what you see regarding age of clients. For example, with Flatex, I saw Gen Z have a special offer on your app. So you have special trading fees, I saw. What's the reasoning behind? Do you see a big discrepancy regarding the age of your retail clients?
Well, we logically invest a lot of time in identifying client groups and age and country and product. It's starting to get very complex, and you see funny mountains coming up in Excel. The result is very simple. We're absolutely convinced that we need to deliver product to everybody to invest for pensions, and you need to start early. And we see still, well, Germany is even worse than our other main markets like the Netherlands or Spain or Austria, absolute financial illiteracy. And you can only start with that when you started early. That's why we said we just don't charge any fees below 27, subject to the right venue and the usual restrictions. And compliance will give me 5 lines now. But the logic is exactly that. We want to make it simple to start. And we're fully aware that that means for us, it's not the most interesting products that could be bought. Realistically, and that's good, people will start buying ETFs. But at least we're getting them on the learning curve with a little bit of money and no cost and no problem and just starting. That's the logic behind the below 27.
And you want to make stick with your product, I guess.
I would not mind if people move in the journey from one product to the other over time, logically, but it is not just a catch of clients. That's not the idea. The idea that we always now across all products are trying to do is explaining sales through education. We're running podcasts. We do with quite a few issuers. We do video streams, web streams. Again, Germany is slowly picking up, but other countries, you find thousands of people dialing in into a live stream about some ETF, which I would have never thought is realistic. Mm-hmm. That works. Yeah? So that's where we see the change. And if you, so to say, go back a little bit to crypto and digital assets, yes, there's also a different acceptance rate. The below 24s have a much higher acceptance and purchase rate of cryptos compared to the older. It's not completely going in my age to zero, fortunately, but you see a clear cut. And the cut is, in, from our data, roughly in the mid-20s. That's why we also think we need to offer that. Is it an asset class? Is it a tool? You can discuss a lot. At least it's creating volatility and the trading opportunity also for our clients. But yeah, that's for us the delta. We need to look and explain to the youth, and we need to start letting them invest in simple products. Oh.
So is it a vehicle to get the next generation of clients on board? Thomas, how do you see that?
Exactly what you just said, that we're coming from the other side as you are coming, because our customers first enter the Bitpanda universe because of the cryptos, right?
Yeah.
And as it happened to myself as well, I was really astonished because even after, you know, the first few hundreds, I started doing something in crypto years ago, you automatically get an offer for, do you want to buy a Tesla for 50 euros? And I said, well, how can I buy a Tesla for 50 euros here? So, I mean, the converge is completely from the other side at our product and customer spectrum. I think most of them are coming for the cryptos and then see that they can do other investments like stocks and metals and everything else as well. I believe that the slogan, make everybody possible to invest, a little bit like yours. The question, who copied from whom? Oh, God. no, I think it's important in our times because if you look at the traditional banks, most of them have a little lack in you know, offering other asset classes like the crypto space. I see that in the last years, I mean, I'm coming from Metaco and other crypto companies, that there is, as I said in the beginning, a new pace where the banks accept that they should offer crypto. And I had the same look or the same experience on the German market. It's quite interesting. In the German market, all the big banks had no interest on the cryptos. They all wanted to do cryptonized, or let's say tokenized securities, especially corporate bonds. If you talk to the big ones, which some of them happen to be my customer in the former employership. And I think this has to change, because the entrance is that what is in the media and what you see in social media and where the interest is on. And so it would be a good idea to start with the cryptos and then, you know, help them also maybe invest into some other financial instruments. One last word or sentence on the aging group. Thank you for not asking me that. I don't have the figures, but what I saw in the last week is that we have almost everybody from young people, even to, you know, people in the pension, to rich people coming to us, want to have, you know, we have a special program for highly rich and wealthy people who get special treatment, the special people on our side, like wealth managers, they show how they could invest. So we have a broadband covering everybody of our population.
Eric, maybe getting to you, do you see, maybe coming back to the institutional investors, Do you see them picking up, and which kinds of institutional investors are getting more interested in the space?
Answer is yes, but it depends a lot on which what you define as institutional investors, right? So we don't serve retail clients, so we just do B2B and B2B2C, and we definitely see from our perspective also a retail broker who is offering crypto to the end clients is an institutional client, obviously,
yeah, sure.
And that is picking up a lot. What is shocking that the rest is not picking up at all, my feeling, yeah. You don't have, and you also said this, you don't, recently, maybe I'm a bit biased because I go to a lot of crypto conferences and so on, but everyone is screaming also for pension funds to include crypto and at least equities and also ETFs into pension schemes and so on. Everyone seems to scream for that, but somehow it's still not happening. Yeah. And especially from the pension fund side, we don't see much pickup at the moment, unfortunately. We don't see much pick up from the asset management side. You're a bit, you do a lot of education on this and sit in a lot of panels, which is super important. You're a bit out of the ordinary in this space, but we talk a lot now, because we talk a lot, and sometimes it's, and I don't want to offend anyone, but sometimes it's really shocking with some asset manager how little they think about this, how little the education there is. And I'm personally sometimes a bit shocked when I talk to some asset managers.
Yeah. Very solid call out to every asset.
Yes, I mean, it's different in other countries, and I'm really interested to see now how other EU countries are picking up and if the institutions pick up a bit faster. I see banks obviously picking up, but it's mainly driven from the retail side still, which is not a bad thing or something. It's also good, and it's also urgently needed because, as you mentioned, the crypto market cap is not huge. You could always ask, okay, why would you build a whole infrastructure just for one equity that is there, or market cap of one equity? The market has a lot of potential to grow way, way bigger, but it's really needed now that that new money is basically coming in. Things like also meme coins jumping up on the Trump meme coin and so on, that just happens because the very same money is circulating from one meme coin to the other, pumping it up, dumping it, blah, blah, blah. So it's not really that billions of new assets are coming in to support something like this, but by the adoption rate of banks and so on, there will be a lot of money coming into the market. And that's why the institutional adoption, also in the sense of retail brokerage, is super important. And we luckily see this, but other institutional adoption.
Christoph, what do you think?
Your retail clients, as mentioned before, with our blockchain fund, clear answer is yes. And when looking at the variation of age, it's really to say that young investors are involved in this product, but also older ones. So the offering is picked up literally by the whole spectrum when looking at age. Institutional investors, yeah, I would agree what you're saying is there's little demand. But on the other hand, we've seen it, and Apple with Steve Jobs was one of the best examples. Also, an offering can create demand. So therefore, is it a wise decision for the industry to really wait until investors are knocking on your door and asking for a product? Clear answer is no, because you have a time to market at least of about one and a half, 2 years from scratch, developing these type of products until they are ready for distribution. And that's why at Union Investment, we have a steering group with all the various stakeholders of our firm: retail marketing, institutional marketing, portfolio management, real estate, IT, also the administrative businesses are part of this. And currently we are working on a number of use cases with a focus on how does the wallet structure of the future look like? What are the products we have to focus on to serve our clients in a very best way? And also how should an IT infrastructure of the future look like? And that's what we started already a while ago, and we are really making good progress. And as said, we are a service function for our investors, and our job is to be there when there's demand and to deliver best-in-class services.
Just a quick point to add, because that's super true and interesting what you said, that I think you really have to create an offering, and you don't have to wait for your clients to come and ask you for an offering. I mean, you see a lot of saving banks, and a lot of clients don't, of course, ask them if they offer crypto or if they offer crypto soon, because they know they will not offer it in the next year or something. That so they just go somewhere else, and that counts for retail brokerage. That counts also for asset management and so on. So it's really, I think, about time really to create offerings and test it with the clients. And nowadays, you don't need to spend 20 million to create an offering. You have providers also like us who make the way into the market really easy, who create actually also technical capabilities that you can just connect through your existing pipes. So it's not like the regulation is no excuse anymore. The technical integration is no excuse anymore. So there is basically not really an excuse anymore, a valid excuse anymore to create a quick offering and try it out with the clients.
Which is a nice segue into my next topic regarding regional differences, because one example that comes to my mind is BlackRock moving with their money market fund, Biddle, which is a tokenized money market fund. And I think nobody called out for that. They just appeared somehow. Maybe some people wanted to have that, especially the treasuries of the big blockchain projects wanted to diversify their treasuries. But I think the uptake was quite enormous last year. For me personally, that was one of the biggest things. And now with Trump administration getting into speed, what do you expect? What does that actually make with Europe? We heard a lot about Europe needs to start moving. Up to end of last year, we were quite happy with regulation. We have MiCA, we have the DLT pilot regime starting. I don't think that Trump can catch up in 6 weeks, but the signals are quite significant. How do you feel as a European in that situation? What does need to happen?
Well, I think from my point of view, it's naive to think that the Americans will not start. I'm absolutely convinced that nearly every big American financial institution has started a while ago. Very secretly, understandably, with all the political problems, but it's not happening. Yeah? Again, if you compare, going back to your question on MiCA and regulation, it is the right regulation that we have from my point of view. Yeah? It's impossible to explain that we sell a new asset class and call it that way, and we don't want the same rules as in MiFID, in essence. That will not work. Yeah? On the other hand, from my point of view, there's one big regulation in Europe still outstanding that is stopping quite a few, especially banks, and that's CRR. Capital treatment of cryptos on balance sheet is just not financeable in a reasonable volume.
Absolutely.
If you take that away, I don't think we have anything to be worried about. We just need to accept that it's a global business. And as always, if somebody has 50 trillion of equity and we have 100 million of equity, we may struggle. So we're back in the old discussion of how big should banks be.
Other takes on that question?
I'm the same opinion as the capital requirements. This is insane. I think a few sentences on that. First, I think Europe is really on the forefront because we have a regulation for cryptos for 450 million people, which United States almost has nothing. Okay, but they have a different type of law, so it might not be possible. I think Trump will give the whole industry a big push. But on the other hand, if you think about institutional investors, what you also mentioned, and special pension funds, I don't know any pension fund which could buy an ETF which is on the markets since 3 months. They simply cannot. They have to wait minimum a year or maybe 3 years track record unless they can buy it. So they cannot buy the crypto and they cannot buy the ETF because the product is too young on the market. I don't think that the Americans give a sh on that. The product is on the market and they invest. And I think this is the big advantage they have towards Europe. We have a better regulation and we have everything sorted out. But the push to do something and try something and to fail is in their culture and it's not in the European culture. But I think if you want to see this as a kind of outlook, I see... I personally think that 2025 is a market where the crypto industry will have a great push and we will see a lot of things changing, maybe also or because of also Trump's engagement in that industry.
I think the US is coming and it's coming much faster than we would probably think of. And I agree. I mean, when you talked already almost 1 year ago, I also talked to some tier one banks in America and they were anticipating that Trump will win and they anticipated and they all have plans in their drawer, final plans. So as soon as they get a go, they will move. And it's not so much just about the American banks in the US. It's also a lot about the European branches here of the American banks here, because they don't move at all. They could and they would, and there's a regulation here, so they are allowed to. But as long as the headquarters says no and the SEC says no, they don't move. Once they start moving, and they will start moving fast because they have their plans in their drawer, they will not do this with European companies. They will do this with US companies. And there, I think we, unfortunately, I don't want to be too skeptical, but in this regard, we have lost the race already, even though it didn't really start on the US side. Because for us, making it easier, or and MiCA is not, I mean, it's a good regime. Too much copy and paste out of MiFID, some things that really hinder business, I would say. It could be lighter. If at the point where we notice that it could be lighter, it takes the EU minimum 2 years to change that. So that's why it shouldn't sound too skeptical. But in that sense, the odds are not on our side when we compare us to the US within the next 2 years, I think. But that's why it's also really urgent to use the time now and do as much as we can here to establish some strong companies in Europe that can then compete as soon as the US is coming.
Christoph, maybe another question for you, because I think that's very interesting. I think it's very close to your heart. So if this is coming and is coming quickly and the US is putting us under more pressure, if we dive up a bit from the asset side, we always talked about assets. So your clients invest into asset, but above that, there's the financial service layer. So how do you see this year, maybe the next year, the financial services per se being affected by this whole technology? So if we have stable coins, which get more and more use, at least for cross-border payments, maybe not retail-wise, but they are coming. We have these ideas in your house regarding financial instruments being tokenized. So what is getting at us here? What's the broader implication of these developments?
I think it's important to look at the long-term vision. So what is it what we want to achieve? Is it just issuing a tokenized bond? Is it getting ECB eligibility for these products as collateral? And these are all pieces of the puzzle. But looking at the very big picture, I guess token will become the new standard going forward, because it's much superior compared to a paper, physical, global document as a format of securitization as we have it today. Point number one. Point number two, we will get to atomic instantaneous settlement. Here in Europe, at the moment, we have the discussions on that in 27. For traditional securities, we will get to T+1. Where the US already is. But at the end, the goal will be a T0 settlement, and not only a T0, but a second zero settlement. And then we will have 24/7 trading. So that's, I guess, in the very big picture. And again, looking from the perspective, what's in it for the client, user convenience for the client going forward. You might have a wallet where a number of assets are in, your cash is in, your tokenized products are in there, your crypto assets are in there, probably also some old legacy Tesla shares in traditional form securitized. And when purchasing goods in 5 to 10 years time, you just take your smartphone. On a Saturday, you go to a retailer and you decide to buy a used car for 8,000 euros. You just make a selection. What are the assets I would like to monetize? Double click, automated market makers, and they will give you live prices. You will monetize these assets, and immediately you will transfer the cash to the retailer and you will leave with your car. So that's, I guess, the very big picture. And that's from a financial perspective, how to make use of token economy. And looking at the ECB, so Mr. Cipriani, I guess we will have tomorrow also a keynote speech from him. Digital Capital Market Union combines, on the one hand, assets on chain and cash on chain. And having these two, they are strongly connected. You can't see the one without the other when trying to achieve all these benefits. As an industry, from my perspective, we have to work on getting now all the ingredients ready. So an ECB is working on a wholesale central bank money, which hopefully might come somewhere in 25, 26. Then we will have stable coins under MiCA getting licensed. First ones we already have. We probably will have tokenized commercial bank money. So that's on the payment side. And then, as mentioned, the equivalent asset side. And that's, from my perspective, where we as an industry have to work on. Looking at assets on chain, secondary market trading definitely will pick up this year. That's where we are working on. Then ECB eligibility for these products to allow repo transactions is another key part to have an equal level playing field with traditional assets. And here in Europe, we have a fantastic regulatory governance set up over the last couple of years, which is really a competitive edge we have, and we just have to make use of it. And as you mentioned, the Americans, they are not sleeping. Last week I was on a conference in London, and one of the former Trump advisors, he was in a panel and in a private talk. I was discussing with him Europe, US, who is leading, who will be leading going forward. And his straight answer, that's a quote, was, hey, you guys in Europe, you fucked it up completely. You've had 5 years time to get it done. You've literally done nothing. Now we will come with regulation. We will speed up. And within 6 to 12 months time, we will have overrun.
To sum it up, it's urgent, I guess. I think that was a nice picture how I think you all agree on how important this disruption actually is. But some people in the audience might not even have started. So one of my last questions, how do we actually start? You all have started somehow. Moritz, not so long ago. I think you've fought your fight internally to get some product out. Thomas, you also have a lot of experience there. Which advice would you give to the audience? How to start? Where to start?
I didn't want to make advertisement. Go to bitbinder.com in your app store, download it, try it out.
That was not the intention of my question.
KYC works even on Saturday, 24/7, half an hour maximum, including two beers. And then you're onboarded and you can start trading. No, I think obviously I want to, that you become our customer, but I think it's really important to start, even with 500 euros, with 100 euros. It doesn't matter. You have to start, because otherwise you're never sucked in to that universe and you will never start reading the papers, maybe watching our academy, which we all have with hundreds of videos and educational programs, and you will never watch the channels because you're not interested. Even if start with a few bucks, start. I did it the same when I joined Metaco 2021. I said I cannot start with a crypto startup working for them as employee number 27 and having nothing about knowing about crypto, not even own 10 euros in Bitcoin. And that's the truth, and there where I started. And then you also get self-educated, because you listen to the things differently. You see the other side of the table. You see the other side of the curtain. So please start, do something, and convince your partners, your friends, that they also start doing small things. But just invest a little, and then, you know, have yourself educated.
That was a great tip for the private side, maybe more for the financial service industry. That was the original intention of my question, but nice plug.
I have more than 10 euro in crypto, so I try to give an educated advice. Yes, for me, like the banking side needs to drive the adoption, and you mentioned it. You can go either the way of building everything by yourself. That takes years. You have to build up own operations teams, own on-chain analysis, everything that comes with that. Or you can look for a partner, also like Crypto Finance, and there are of course also others. But I mean, that do all of this for you. And that doesn't mean that at some point you cannot switch. Yeah, there's always a way back. So for example, if a bank wants to just give it a quick start, look for a good partner. That would be my advice. That doesn't prevent you from also running and operating this by yourself at a later stage. Yeah? Because we see also some small banks who still think it makes sense to go in and build an own infrastructure, because they want to have, they expect bigger volumes at some point. Start with a partner. If you have a lot of billions assets under custody, you can still build your own setup.
Yeah, maybe from a recent experience, just start is a good statement. Yeah, I would say, find a few enthusiasts in the company. You will have them. You may not know them, but you have them. Number two, like in the old world, you need a USP. Yeah? If you don't know what your product is and why you want to sell it, you won't sell it. It's not happening on its own. But that's as always. Other than that, don't try to do too much yourself to help you with your sales.
Christoph, maybe final words?
Yeah, so looking not only at crypto, but again at token economy, I think education is really key. Education and collaboration of all the various stakeholders. Is it regulators, central banks, governments, buy-side, sell-side firms, vendors? As mentioned, I think we have a fantastic regulatory framework, and it's just get it done. This was also a key message we heard in the previous panel. So here in Europe, we are great architects, and we do the planning, but we don't bring the horsepower onto the street. And the Americans are exactly the opposite. They just do it, and then they, which from my perspective is not really the most appropriate way, and then they consider, do we need some regulation here and there? We have this regulation, and therefore, I said, just get it done.
Okay, I think that was a great call out to get started. Thank you very much.
The views expressed are solely the personal opinions of the hosts and are provided for informational purposes only. This podcast does not offer financial or investment advice. Always conduct your own research and make well-informed decisions before investing. Please be aware that the hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies or digital assets discussed in this episode.